I'm really nervous thinking about this. Of course, I was thinking of a, you know, room, big room full of lots of people, and that is. But when I look around, I was trying to assure myself, I know you all, none of you are scary. So Sister Sherry asked me if I would speak on my call to the recording ministry. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Rachel Fowler, and I sit up in the balcony and I record all the services. Then I edit those recordings so that they sound good on a CD. You don't have all the microphone clinking or Brother Donald or announcing the next singer. I have just the file. So those are edited, and then I burn the CDs. We have messages and song CDs and just a ministry there. It started out for the shut-ins, and then Brother Jeff Wells really took on a burden to send DVDs to the shut-ins. So he has done that. Most of the shut-ins have DVD players now, but we still have things for sale during camp meeting. We are next to the bookstore, and that's where you'll find us during camp meeting. So when I started to think about my call to the recording ministry and how I got here, At first I felt kind of insignificant. You know, there was no great calling. There was no huge impression from the Lord saying, you know, just, I want you to move up. I want you to do something greater. I'm bringing you to a new place and the work of the Lord. There was nothing like that. And mostly what brought me to this place was being faithful to the Lord. So the first thing, and I have some scriptures that I wrote down just to kind of help a little bit, but it's kind of a personal testimony also. So I grew up in a small congregation in Medina, Ohio, and my parents were very involved in the congregation, definitely workers for the Lord. When I was born in Maryland, Dad was actually the printer of a little newspaper article they had, and he would also go to the inner city. Mom was too afraid. Dad would go and bring in destitute children to church. Always a huge burden, and I think that plays into my life because I had great examples. And it's important to have that influence in your life if you maybe are the first person in your family, first generation, to come to the church. Maybe you weren't raised in the Church of God. There are plenty of good examples around. Plenty of good examples. If you want to see a good example, ask God to show you one. There are plenty of good examples. So I had my parents. And also, it wasn't just what they did, but at a young age, we were included in the church work days. We always had the job taking the songbooks out of the racks and taking the trash out. And to this day, when I wrote that note, I wonder why people think that's a trash can. But that's what us little kids got to do. And of course, we were taught responsibility. You know, the songbooks aren't just flung out and tossed on the seat. They were carefully picked up and take the trash out. So even from the little ages, we were there. We were present. We saw the older ones working, and we were given a portion of the work to do. So a couple of the scriptures that I had. Proverbs 22:6, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Even if we physically stop living the life, you can never erase what's been put in your mind and taught to you. Nehemiah 4:6, the last part of the verse says, the people had a mind to work. You must want to work. You need to have a desire and cultivate that desire. 1 Corinthians 12:31. The whole chapter, first of all, is talking about the many members of the body. And it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And there's sometimes if we are musical, we might want to be involved. We might want to be a singer. We might want to be in the choir. We might want to be the director. We might want to write the orchestra music. We might want, but where God places us is going to be even better than what we were wanting, what we thought would be the perfect job. When God puts us there, it's even better. So I joined the church orchestra in Medina when it's a small congregation. As soon as you can play your instrument, a few notes, you get added into the group. Even if we just play God is So Good every week for offering for a few weeks till you learn the next song, that's what we did. And I can play Stand Up for Jesus by memorization because every new person that learned an instrument, that's what we started on. And then I joined the choir at 15. That was the youngest age that we were able to join the choir. And those things were expected, I feel like, of you. Like here, I feel like it's expected that you sing in the youth choir. It's expected that you participate in certain activities. But there was a growth that had to happen. It had to become a personal walk. And I had to learn to see the work and want the work. And I had to learn to carry a burden for the work of the Lord. And you hear that phrase a lot, the work of the Lord. And sometimes I feel like we toss around phrases without thinking of what we're saying. And when I wrote that down, stopped to think, what is the work of the Lord? I feel like there are two main works that we're doing. One, we want to see the lost saved. But two, we want to see the church strengthened. So there is an inner work and there is a reaching out work. And myself personally, while I'm aware there's both, I feel like I have a greater burden for strengthening the saints. I love to, the people that I know, if I know you, I love you, and I want to see you do good, and I will do anything I can to help you. If I don't know you, I'm going to be less hesitant to just walk up with a word of encouragement and, hi, how are you, and act all friendly, and that takes a little bit more of God to get me out of my comfort zone. But there is a work of the Lord. So things that I started adding into my life, my walk with the Lord, was I volunteered to bring youth lessons on occasion. My mom was the youth leader, so you would think that I was pressured, but she didn't. She'd stand in the front at youth service and she'd say, I've got some dates open, who's willing? And be silent. And you know, God's talking to you in your mind. And he helped me to get brave and to bring different lessons. We visited nursing homes every other Sunday afternoon. And when you're a youth, maybe not everybody, I shouldn't speak for everybody, for myself, I didn't relate to the elderly, and some of them were handicapped in the nursing homes, and that was a trial for me. And the nursing home smelled, and that was a trial, just being honest. But I saw that there was a work to do. It was one of those things that was kind of expected of you, but I also knew it was the right thing to do and chose to put my heart into it. We sang and I played my violin. In the church then, different groups, we would have duets, trios, quintets, all of them, including the youth, just being a faithful member of those, being willing when a friend comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to sing the song with me? And being willing, yes. It got to the point where my mom was not able to physically stand. She always led the little kids singing for Sunday school. And I don't remember if it was her or Sister Dickerson asked me to start that. Well, that meant I was not just helping. At first, my mom would pick out the songs and I stood and did the singing and the motions. And then it got to the place where I was expected to think of the songs. So you can see the responsibility was growing as I stayed in the work and continued giving. God put more on me and more. There were different things like Sunday afternoon unseen things that anybody could jump in and do. Medina, we all ate together every Sunday afternoon because we were a smaller congregation. And somebody had to wash the dishes and somebody needed to sweep the floor and somebody needed to wipe off the tables. And it was easier to just, after you ate, just sit around and talk, or when you're young, go outside and play. And that was something that the Lord kind of nudged me into a little bit more responsibility. See the work and do the work. Being faithful. And I had a couple scriptures for that. For getting a personal burden for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I remember my pastor preaching that the person who picks up the candy wrapper instead of walking past it is just as important as the person who gets paid to be the janitor. We all have a part in it. And there's many times, he must have really drilled it into us, because there's many times I will walk past something in the parking lot and think it's outside. And I immediately will backtrack and pick that up. It is just ingrained in me, and it's not a bad thing. It's good to catch on to that and see the work and do the work. So after I was taught to have a desire for the work, I made that burden for the work of the Lord personal, and then you have to be faithful. And I talked about all those things that I was doing in the local congregation. And I will just say that I went through a phase where, probably after I graduated high school, 18 to 21, and I felt bored. I could say bored. I felt useless. Like I was just, who am I? What am I? Where am I going? Where do I fit into this whole thing of life? And I thought maybe I needed to move out of my parents' house. You know, I was an adult, had a full-time job. What was I doing living at home? Maybe that's it. Maybe I just needed to have my own life and set it up. And maybe I buy a new car. This old car is just, bought it off my cousins. And I thought of many things, and thank the Lord I didn't follow through with any of them because they would have tied me down. But in that time, I continued. And God reminded me to be faithful and all that I knew to do, and just hang tight. And it's hard. It's hard to do. It's just an inner feeling that you want to do something. And that was hard. And there's some scriptures about faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Luke 16:10-12, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If ye therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Just to describe those scriptures in today's language, should we say, he that is faithful in the least is faithful in much. If you can be faithful to always pick up that trash that you always see, there's always trash somewhere. Sometimes dropped innocently, sometimes on purpose. If you can be faithful in those little things, it's easier to be faithful in bigger things. If you can be faithful in the things of life, like your schoolwork, your chores, some of you older ones, you have bills. If you can be faithful in the things that are in general life, then the true riches, the things of God, it's going to be easier to be faithful in those. You can come to the Lord with a clear conscience. And you've taught yourself, as Brother Porter said, discipline and discipleship, the discipline that it takes to be faithful. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who's going to give you that which is your own? If you can't be a faithful helper to others, then who is going to trust you to have your own position in the congregation? So work at being a faithful helper, diligent, attentive, and submissive. Not trying to jump in and change their ways, not saying I've got a better idea, but just, how can I help you? And do it. It's that simple. Well, it's that simple. Discipline is not always simple. So there's different things in my life. I worked as a bank, in a banker position. I worked then as a receptionist for a family friend who also went to church. Then when I got married, I moved here in 2004, and I worked a couple office jobs here, but I didn't feel like that's where I belonged. They were short-lived. But again, when I came here, I went from all those works I named I was doing in Medina to nothing. Changed congregations. I changed cities. I didn't even know how to get anywhere but Walmart. And my husband traveled for a living, so he'd be gone 10 days, home for four. And that meant I was even going to church without him sometimes. And again, God came back to me. I cried. I will tell you, I cried. I was used to being worked and used in the congregation. And when I came to church, and that's all I did was come to church, still got to be faithful. That's not all. That's not a little thing. But I felt like it was comparably. And God reminded me again, be faithful in what you can do. So I joined the choir. Every workday that was announced, I was here. I didn't know where they kept cleaning supplies. I didn't know dorm 1 from dorm 18. I didn't know much at all, but I was here and willing. I was a body ready to work. And eventually I started singing and playing my violin, and I became a little bit more involved in the congregation. Felt like I belong here now. And everybody wants to feel like they belong, like they have worth. They want to feel that appreciation. And when you see that somebody didn't come to church, definitely reach out and say, I missed you. You don't have to ask why. Just say, I noticed you weren't there and I missed you. That's enough. They just want to feel appreciated, that they as a person are appreciated for what they're worth. So we got married in 2004, and then Sam's mom remarried in 2005. The current sister and brother that were doing the recordings, she passed away in 2006. And Brother Decker asked Brother and Sister York to take over the recording ministry a few months after the Sister Ellen passed away. Life kept going. They were doing that. I was continuing in the little things, and Trey was born in 2007. I was busy, young mom, staying faithful with choir, work days. And spring of 2009, our family went through a traumatic event, and Sister York was struggling to come to church. She was struggling just a lot. And I saw that she needed help, and I offered to help her, so she showed me what to do. Within a month or so, she had become so sick that she wasn't able to work at all, and I just continued the work for her. I was still doing what she wanted, what she had set into place. I was just filling in, just helping out. And me and Brother York were doing the work together. And I got to thinking, you know, Brother Decker had asked them as a couple to do it. And so I went to him and I said, you know, Sister York hasn't really been able to do this, and I've been doing most of the work with the camp meeting this summer and such. If you wanted to ask somebody else, pray about somebody else doing this, just wanted you to know that information. And he didn't skip a beat. He said, well, why don't you do it, sister? Deer in headlights. Did not see that coming. Did not at all. And I was taught that when the pastor asks you to do something, you say yes, and the Lord will help you if it's hard. So I just, okay. I mean, I'll keep on keeping on. And the Lord brought about some scriptures that about being ready, being prepared. Let me see how it is. Okay. So the scriptures the Lord brought to my mind was in 1 Kings 6 and 7 when they were building the temple. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. And when I first heard that scripture preached, I don't know who it was, but they brought across the thought that God prepares each of us for the place that he wants us. And when he puts us in that position, it's not going to be rough. It's going to fit. You don't have to shove yourself into that position. You don't have to try really hard. You don't have to demand. You don't have to cry and pray and, I just can't do this, Lord. It's so hard. That's probably not where the Lord has asked you to be. You'll know. The Spirit will witness, and it will be a smooth transition. God prepared me through my youth, through the things, learning to work, learning to make the work of the Lord my personal work, my personal burden. He taught me to be faithful in those times when you feel like you're walking in a wilderness. You know, we'd all just like to live in the happy land where there's plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and there's friends around, and everything's happy and good. But there's times when you feel like you're walking alone, like nobody fully understands what I'm going through. God does, and he's there with you. Just stick it out. Stay with him. There's sometimes, you know, that poem about the footprints in the sand, sometimes there's only one set. I've said it many times. I made it through that, and it wasn't my footprints. That was God all the way. God will take you and he will prepare you. And the scripture in Esther 4:14, where Mordecai says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Did God know years ago that he would need me in the recording ministry? Yes. Yes. And he prepared me. There was different things that I written down in my schooling. I had an excellent music teacher. Even though it was just general choir, he taught us a lot of music theory within that. And in my editing of the audio files, there's lots of times I'll tell you guys, when you make a mistake, I can fix it. I can cut and paste, and I can copy and paste, and but if you change keys, I can't repeat it. So there's some things where, you know, the things I learned in high school help. The things I learned in the bank, all the clerical work, the attention to detail, the meticulous filing you have to have, this has to happen, that has to happen, and everything I learned in my life has, I see it, the technology. I'd be fine without technology. Sometimes it causes a lot of headaches in life, but I learned it at the bank. They gave us training. Then I learned different things when I was working in the offices, different programs that I had to learn. Excel has come in very handy in my work with the ministry, organizing all the files and such. Those things, it was God just preparing that stone, you know, in a different place. And when it came to the time he needed to place me, it just fit really easy and really perfect. The last thing I wanted to mention that, is life always perfect? No. Equipment fails. Technology changes. I have to learn new things. I'm not getting any younger. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I can easily be sick. I get forgetful. I forget to do things. Sometimes I have trouble focusing. Sometimes I don't like working alone or pushing through a job that seems really big with so many details that I have to learn and I don't want to. I still have places in the recording ministry where God has to help me. He's still shaping me. It's not all roses and sunshine. The Lord is still working with us. And the last scripture I had, if I can find it, I'm really nervous. I do have it. Technology, see? That's what I get for using technology. There it is. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet it was not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It's nothing that I've done in myself. I made a commitment to the Lord that was a personal choice, but God helped me to keep that commitment. God helped me to choose that commitment daily. And the verse before that was kind of saying, who am I to even have the privilege of serving God, the great big God of the universe? Who am I? But the verse after that said, Paul was saying, regardless of who preached or who did the work, what counts is that in the scripture you believed, the work was done. The Lord wants to use each of us, and he's preparing us. So pay attention to where you are in your life. God has you there for a purpose, for a reason. He's shaping you. We have to let him shape us. Be willing to face the frustrations, and this is just a learning opportunity. I had a friend who used to say that. She just, thank you, Lord, for this learning opportunity. Sometimes you have to do that, but it is. In the long run, you'll see down the road, you see how God brings you into that perfect place, and it's only the grace of God. Amen. Amen.